Ronnie Bell. Now he is a Detroit Lion.
Is he?
Yeah.
Eat shit, fucko.
I mean...
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-hosts, Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. It's the bottom of the fifth. Giants Mariners. Brian Wu, get the fuck out of here. Walker,
get
how
him
are
out.
You?
I'm all right. Tigers won on a walk-off double by Spencer Torkelson.
Nice.
Shout out to, I was talking to Walker about it in the group chat last night. Shout out to the Detroit Tigers officiating crew. Bangers.
Officiating crew, announcing team.
Yeah. Look, man. Look, person, not man.
You're good. Don't worry about it.
Look, you. Look, y'all. So we're into part two of our running back preview. Mike, how are you? Did the Giants score on Wu, or did he get out of the jam?
Not yet. It's still second inning. Second inning. Bottom of the fifth. J.H. Lee is up. So three balls, two strikes. He's fouled off a few.
Let's go, Jung Hoo.
So man on second.
Let's go, Jung.
And he flew out.
Boo! You know what? You know what? We're going to start instituting tariffs on Jung Hoo Lee specifically.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. All right. Perfect. So what we're going to do is we're going to do part two of our running back preview. We had kind of a shorter part one because we know ourselves. We only talked about six guys in that one. And in this one, we're going to be talking about 12 guys. And that's just what we have slated up. So that's why we put it into two columns. And I realized I closed my guy for today. Do you want to talk running backs, then do the guy of the week, or do you want to do guy of the week, then talk running backs?
Let's do guy first this week.
All right, guy of the week. So last week it was Dari Ogunbowale.
Yay.
This week we have 21 questions, another guy to guess. And Mike, we started with you last time. Walker, we'll start with you.
Is he retired?
Yes.
Okay.
Did he play in the AFC?
Yes. I feel like I should just give you guys, call it 19 questions and spot you retired and conference. Because those are the first two questions.
let me see. Did he play a fantasy relevant position?
No.
Cool.
So defense, huh?
Well, it could be O-line.
I told you guys I promised it would not be O-line ever.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
Because it'd be so hard.
Yeah, because there's just no stats is the problem.
Did he play linebacker?
No, he did not. That's okay. Full.
Did he ever have a double-digit sack season?
Double-digit sack season? No.
Yes. Okay.
Defensive back?
Yes.
Did he play in the 2010s?
Yes.
Okay.
Did he play in the AFC South?
No, he did not. That's eight questions.
Did he play in the AFC North?
No, he did not. That's
nine. Oh, okay. We're down to two divisions.
The AFC West.
That he did. That's okay. 10 questions.
Okay, so we're at 10. He's a defensive back. Man. Was he primarily a Kansas City Chief?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
I like how I was shocked by that, but it was a 1-in-4 chance.
1-in-4 chance. Yeah, not that crazy of a guess, yeah. To be honest.
Pro Bowler.
Yes, he made 5 Pro Bowls.
Eric Berry.
Correct.
Jesus, Walker.
That was the fastest you guys have gotten. 13 questions. You're usually up around 17, 18, but 13 questions.
Didn't even need a hint this time.
I know. Would you like to know what the hint was?
Yeah.
He's afraid of horses.
I was thinking that the hint was going to be cancer survivor.
No, afraid of horses. Because that's much funnier than cancer survivor.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Because those videos of him are hilarious.
Yeah, where he's just like, I don't know, man.
He's like on the sideline because they used to have the horse mascot, and he's like, I don't know, man. I mean, he was like hiding behind his teammates, like not in a joking way, like legitimately.
Yeah, like he's just like, nah, I don't fuck with horses.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk running back, shall we? If you want to hear us talk Ashton Jeanty, Quinshon Judkins, Omarion Hampton, Caleb Johnson, Trevion Henderson, and Ollie Gordon II, that is in last episode. There is one thing that I forgot to mention about my evaluation of Caleb Johnson. He let some bitch-ass little two-star recruit steal his starting job in my College Football 25 save file. So take from that what you will.
And yet you still had him RB4, so pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, I respect the competition.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did score two touchdowns. I mean, Jay Chris scored two touchdowns in the Alamo Bowl, so, you know, it was well-deserved to have Caleb Johnson take a back seat.
Oh, so the player that he lost his starting job to was video game Jeff Crisco.
That's correct! Let's go, baby! Oh,
I see what you mean, okay.
Yeah.
Caleb Johnson, RB4. Jeff Crisco, RB3.
RB1. I'm coming for you, Ashton. Ow. I hit my knee. All right. So we're going to start off. We have, again, put guys in order. By math, Dylan Sampson is our consensus running back 7. Walker has Dylan Sampson off the board entirely. Yep. Walker hates Dylan Sampson. I have him the highest. I have him at 6. Mike has him at 7. We'll start with this. Walker, why do you hate Bucky Irving 2.0?
He's not Bucky Irving 2.0.
Wrong. Okay. All right. So he's a little small for an NFL running back. He's 5'11", 201, which is slightly bigger than last year's rookie breakout Bucky Irving. I thought watching him, he had a ton of bursts through the line of scrimmage. He was a demon in the open field, but without being out of control, a la Cam Scataboo, who I would like to commend all of us for not having Cam Scataboo in our top 10 at all. I had you put him as my Trey Regis memorial pick specifically so that we talked about the quirked out white boy. I think he runs with good control and contact balance, good patience at the line of scrimmage, great vision. Fast to the edge, just toast linebackers to the edge, even though most of his rushing came up the middle at what Walker calls a fake offense at Tennessee. I think he does a good job of combining all of his skills to get big gains or to make something out of nothing. I do think his hands are a little bit inconsistent, which makes him worse than Bucky Irving in my mind. But we saw last year Bucky Irving did cede that role to Rashad White and was still a breakout last year. His pass protection, while he is a willing blocker, he is not great at it. Once he brings the ball in, he's good at turning up field and getting yak, good field awareness. I think that he comes out with a similar role as Bucky Irving and Jalen Wright, wherever he ends up, where he starts as like the 1B or deeper in like a let's just build you up throughout the year. You're going to start in limited packages. And depending on where he goes, he could get buried like Jalen Wright, or he could become the starter like Bucky Irving. I think he is a decent fantasy prospect who has a big chance of rookie year breakout potential. My comp, I said Bucky Irving, fourth round grade on him. I think that he would work well on the Bears, Browns, or even pairing with Ashton Jeanty on the Raiders. That would be horrible for his fantasy value, but it would be good for a real life situation to reset that backfield after what they dealt with last year. His RAS score looks like does not have one. He was simply too fast. It looks like he broke the scale. He was the first ever 10.1. Walker not listening. All right, Mike, what are your thoughts on Dylan Sampson?
Multi-speed back with possesses exceptional strong lower body, allowing him to bounce off or shed or absorb tackles. His pass protection is not too bad. Versatile every down back kind of guy, but he does fumble too often and his route tree is limited.
All right. Yeah. And Walker, you hate him. What are your thoughts on him?
I do not hate him. I think he's fine. I would say he is, like you said, very fast in the open field. One cut and he's gone. just don't care for the vision. I feel like he kind of just runs up his offensive line's ass too often. The receiving is not developed. I would say pass pro might be the best part of his receiving game, and he's not even that great at that. Just doesn't seem like a guy who's going to have enough of a specialty in the NFL other than being fast to get on the field, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I hate to break it to you, Walker, but you're wrong.
Just for reference, he is my RB14 and prospect 142 overall.
Jesus.
Fifth round grade.
140 or running back 14, huh? That's where I have a little man by the name of Cam Scadaboo.
I have him at 12.
Okay. All right. So Walker will have a chance to redeem themselves for being very wrong by talking about Devin Neal. Walker has Devin Neal as their number 7 running back. I have Devin Neal at 9. Mike does not have Devin Neal in his top 10. So Walker, let's talk about Devin Neal. 5'11", 215 out of Kansas. Looks like he ran he clocked an 8.55 RAS at the combine.
Yeah, guy who's got good athleticism other than his top end speed. Doesn't have a whole lot of that. He's not going to break, you know, your 80 yard runs in the NFL, but definitely a guy who can chunk off yardage consistently. Powerful runner, good lower body strength. I like the way he sets up his blocks. He didn't have a great offensive line at Kansas. They had one really high rated recruit in Logan Brown who underachieved, and the rest of the line was just kind of randos. This past season, the passing offense was okay, but the quarterback has been Jalen Daniels, and he's just injured a lot, and his performance has suffered as a result. So he was, like, pretty clearly the best player on the offense, I feel like, and not getting that much help, and they still scored a lot of points. I like the production. I like the strength. I like the vision. Pass catching's underdeveloped. Probably more of a two down banger for now, but I think he's quite effective in that role.
Yeah, you mentioned one thing that I really liked, which was adjusting the angle of attack of tacklers to turn him into like easily shed arm tackles. But yeah, the thing about that is if he doesn't successfully do that, he goes down at the first solid contact he receives. Like, it was not that I didn't really like. I liked that he was patient. His cutbacks weren't as proficient as I wanted him to be to take advantage of that patience. Gathered a little bit more than I liked out of it. He is shifty though. Sometimes he tends to dance in the backfield, waiting for something to open up. He's one of those guys that lets great be the enemy of good. I do think he's gonna have some strange stretch where he gets like a 20 plus touch workload of like for like 3 straight games. It'll have fantasy relevance, but he's gonna have like 85 yards a touchdown and like 2 catches for 16 yards. Like, he'll put together a decent PPR, but I don't think he's going to do a lot overall.
Your third round pick for the San Francisco 49ers.
Best fits: San Francisco 49ers, Minnesota Vikings, and Miami Dolphins. Fifth round pick. NFL comp, getting big boss baby vibes out of him. Elijah Mitchell, who the Niners just let walk to Kansas City. Yeah, all right, Mike, your thoughts on Devin Neal, who, again, you don't have in your top 10. You hate him.
I hate him. Workload runner with NFL size, shows patience and decisiveness, doesn't have home run speed, but will consistently fall forward. Soft hands, but needs to improve as a blocker.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So we're going to move on to the next guy we've got here for Mike, calling him RJ Steve Harvey, 8.41 RAS at the combine. 24-year-old redshirt senior, 5'9", 208, the grizzled veteran of this group. I'm sorry, the grizzled rookie of this group. Mike, what do you like about RJ Harvey?
Yeah, Harvey has blazing speed, acceleration, and burst to separate from defenders. He uses his excellent contact balance and lowers his pads to take on hits. Great vision and patience. Will wear down defenses. He's a solid receiver. A workhorse back who has proven he can handle high workloads. and he takes care of the ball. As far as negatives go, lacks creativity between the tackles to avoid being brought down. Not a prototypical size for an RB. Can be too patient at the line of scrimmage. He needs to learn not to always run with physicality, because that usually ends up getting hurt. A liability in pass protection as he struggles to maintain his anchor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's getting no pass down reps. Zero.
5'8", yeah, 5'8", fire plug who doesn't pass block. This guy, I like Harvey as a football player. He's probably not going to be fantasy relevant.
Oh, no. I mean, I have him with the fifth round grade comped him to, like, Jerick McKinnon, and I think that that's a high-end outcome for him.
I hate that comp because it doesn't make sense for his play style, but about that level of player, sure.
Yeah, it's like I could not pin him down on something, but it's like just imagine how you treated Jerick McKinnon throughout the years, except for that year that he signed with the Niners and he was inexplicably like a first-round pick. Other than that, like that's how you should treat RJ Harvey.
My comp for him is Khalil Herbert.
That's probably a better comp. I think that, yeah, his size is a big problem. He's also a see and run back. He doesn't anticipate basically anything at all. And I think that plays into the fact that he's such a dog shit pass blocker. Like he doesn't have any anticipation about anything. He's also very old. He's going to turn 25 before the Super Bowl. I don't know why I said he's going to fit the football niche of annual RB2 sleeper on a roster like Kenny Gainwell and then comped him to Jerick McKinnon. Don't know why I did that. Probably because I have another guy comped as Kenneth Gainwell. But yeah, I was not a huge fan of RJ Harvey. I do have him in the same tier, though, as my number 10 guy. So it's like I could maybe see it working because it is a decently big tier. But I don't know. It's just one of those guys it feels like is just going to clog up a dynasty roster from like a late fourth round dynasty pick.
Oh, yeah. This is a dude who is good at football, but you should not pick him in your rookie draft. To be clear, this is a fantasy show. Yeah. Don't waste your like late second round pick on Harvey just because he gets picked like pick 108 because he's really fast.
Yeah. So, all right. So I think that's it for RJ Harvey. Fifth round grade on him. Next one. Bayshir Tootin, am I right, Walker?
Shut the fuck up.
Bayshir Tootin. So Bayshir Tootin, 929 at the combine. Sorry. That reaction was so aggressive. 929 at the combine, 21.9 years old, 5'11", 209, fourth fastest 40-yard dash ever. Mike, what are your thoughts on Bayshir Tootin?
So Tootin will go the distance at any time. Tough runner who absorbs punishment, will turn the corner on defenses. He's a good receiver. As far as negatives, he has trouble hanging onto the ball, needs to process more quickly, needs to learn to avoid contact when possible instead of taking on all punishment. Pass protection needs improvement as he will drop his head and lunge. And he will get too bouncy in the backfield instead of making decisive cuts and hitting the hole.
My thing with Tootin is I don't know how long of a career he's destined for because he takes on contact from much bigger players like he's a much bigger guy. He was a return man. He has that return man psychopathy in him where he's just going to try to go through you. And that also causes issues where I think that that's his main instinct, and that might be the niche he best fits in the NFL because as a runner, he struggles at the nuances of the game. He's always going a million miles an hour, struggles to follow his lead blocker, has an issue waiting for blocks to develop at the line of scrimmage. I think he has good, but he like good power, contact balance, speed, good plays the angles well. He tries in the pass block game.
Yeah, like I think Mike described it well. He loves to just like throw his body around.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no real like intention behind it.
Yeah, so I looked at his speed, and I was like, okay, so there's four guys around him in his speed: Keith Marshall, Dree Archer, Devon Achane, or Isaac Garendo. And I was like, well, shit. He's not Dree Archer. He's not Keith Mitchell. He's not Devon Achane. I guess he's Isaac Grando, folks. And honestly, I think that that works because Isaac Grando does have a lot of the same problems. Mm-hmm. He has one speed and it's as fast as humanly possible. And that's how he's plays as well.
He's definitely the Isaac Grando-ish back in this one, in this class, because he's a return guy. And I think that's probably what he's going to end up being in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I count him to Leon Washington.
That's not bad. I like that too.
I think his love of throwing his body into tacklers immediately at the earliest convenience, that ain't going to work in the NFL.
No, that's the biggest problem. And yeah, at the earliest convenience is the best way to put it.
that dude just loves getting hit. I don't really get it, but he's into it.
All right. So Mike's the only one who has Tootin in his top 10. Let's go to a guy that I'm the only one that has in his top 10. And this guy also, Bashel Tootin would switch bodies with this guy in an instant. Damian Martinez.
It's so funny how Martinez is kind of like a dancer behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I know.
And he's huge. Whereas Tootin is just like, get me into a dude as fast as possible. And that's what I'm saying every weekend.
Hey!
But yet he's like 5'11", 200.
Yeah. So Damian Martinez, 6 foot 232. That's why Bashel Tootin desperately begging him to switch bodies. 9.32 RAS. A lot of that has to do with speed score stuff because of how big he is. I really like that he can really navigate a nasty pile. Like, that's the number one thing that I saw jump off the page for Martinez. It's, you know, I'm a millennial, grew up watching Frank Gore, so that's the number one thing I love to see out of a running back, is you go into that pile and you come out of it with your hair on fire and nobody knows where you are. That's like the thing I love more than anybody else, because it also shows a lot of patience, short area burst and quickness, good lower body, upper body connection to make yourself tiny, keep your feet moving, get through that hole and get to the other side. The only thing is he tends to run out of gas. He is big. He does move that body around a lot. Like Walker mentioned, he loves to dance behind the line of scrimmage, and it does kind of gas him pretty quickly. When he's in the open of the field, he doesn't have a very deep bag of tricks. It's just dead legs and jump cuts over and over, like as within a 4 foot wide box. He's running in a line and just kind of juking in that area. He doesn't tend to do anything other than that. Loves being a north-south runner. I think what I wrote for him is he likely had an overeager coach in his past who preached the importance of breaking through the hole because all of his moves are predicated on that skill and he has nothing else. He doesn't have a lot of receptions on tape, but much like Kenneth Walker, I'm not taking a lack as an example as a lack of skill. From the limited amount of catches I've seen, he is a good catcher. He just wasn't asked to do that. I think he would be best as a thunder and lightning system. I don't think that he's a three down back. I think he's best as a banger. I think that he reminds me a lot of Deonta Foreman before Deonta Foreman's Achilles took him from us, and took him like 3 years to come back. That all being said, fifth round pick. He's the thunder and a thunder and lightning, or a change of pace back for a far more dynamic back. So I like him, but I think that things have to fall exactly right for Damian Martinez to work.
Yeah, I would agree that it's probably a long shot that he's going to be super fantasy relevant as more of a goal line back type.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can be quite effective in that role, though. He can handle a lot of touches if you need him to. He has good feet. I appreciate how shifty he is for his size. He's never going to run away from a lot of people, but he will run around you or over you. He's just outside my top 10. He's my number 11 back.
Okay. So you hate him. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Impressive vision, good hands. I think he definitely would benefit in a gap style offense that likes to run downhill. As you guys mentioned, he's a chain mover and could be a goal line or short yardage back.
Alrighty. And yeah, I'm the only guy who what are we cracking?
I purposely cracked that while Jeff was talking and not Mike because Jeff's making fun of me. but it's a squirt zero sugar.
Ooh, dang. Squirt zero sugar. I got an A&W zero sugar root beer. I cracked three of these bad boys last night going hoard on a Saturday night watching wide receivers.
Going hoard. Tummy hort.
That's right. Let's go. All right. So Damian Martinez. So I want to stop down real quick. Damian Martinez, Bashal Tutin, RJ Harvey, this next guy. These are guys that I want to talk about the depth of the class a little bit. So these are all guys that not all of us have inside of our top 10, but they're not 10 for us, which usually what that is one guy hanging on, gets a bump to a top of the tier. So we make sure we talk about him, like me with JCM. But I'm looking at this group and going all the way down to RB15, even a little bit of RB16, 17, 18. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these guys have 2-3 weeks of fantasy relevance. So, like my number 15 guy is Raheem Sanders, not a guy we're going to talk about, deeper guy, but I mean, he plays like Brian Robinson. So depending on where a lot of these guys end up, I don't want people to get stuck on, this is the top 10. There's 10 good guys. Anybody deeper than that is not going to be good. This is a very good deep class with players that fit specific niches in the NFL. And they're all niches that you could end up with guys that are successful. We don't like Cam Scataboo. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was useful for a while. Raheem Sanders, like I said, 15 for me. Brian Robinson is useful. You go down to Bashal Tutin. He's my running back 18. Mike has him in his top 10.
Yeah, I have him at 17.
Yeah.
You guys are wrong.
That's fine. We can be wrong. And it's like, I think this is the class where when you're in your fourth, fifth round in your dynasty rookie drafts, if that's what you're doing, you want to get as many shots at this class as you can. Because there's going to be
because here's the rub. You don't want to be spending those shots on day three receivers.
Yeah. This class. No, especially in this class.
Yeah. Especially in this class. Oh, who's my best day three receiver? I'm looking at it. It's like, Tez Johnson. Well, he had some good stats. He's 155 pounds. Is that good?
What was, did they weigh him with weights in his pocket?
Yeah.
I mean, it's and then like, I think. You know, I've only watched 18 wide receivers, but the only guy that like could bust out of that like fourth, fifth round range is I feel like the stars could align for Savion Williams. And here's you want to hear something fucked? Mm-mm. Okay, never mind.
No, you can tell me the fuck thing. I'm just saying no to Savion Williams.
Okay. I was listening to the CBS Fantasy Football Today Dynasty show this week in their running back preview. Which, by the way, hosted by a friend of the show, Heath Cummings, in the running back preview, they were talking about Savion Williams.
Oh.
So that gives you an idea of how good he is at wide receiver.
Not very.
So I just wanted to stop down and talk about this class from a meta perspective a little bit, where it is a deep class. There's a lot of guys in here that could, within a year or even two, have roles or even get roles and have them fall away. Like I comped Montrell Johnson to Damian Pierce. Like he has the exact play style that feels like he could pop year one, get 225 touches and then never be fantasy relevant again.
Yeah. Mikel LeShore ass player.
Dang that he Mikel LeShore is. All right. all right. We're going to go back to talk about Jarquez Hunter, but Mike, do you have any thoughts about the depth of the class?
I think you guys covered it pretty well. I don't really have any thoughts or comments on that.
All right. So Walker is going to talk about Jarquez Hunter, who sucks. He's my running back 19. Forget everything I said. Wow. 7.99 RAS score, 5'10", 209.
It plays like he's 6 foot 260, though.
I don't know if I want a running back that plays like they're 260.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he is my RB9. Like, I'm not in love with the dude, but like he's a grinder. He plays really hard. He's got enough athleticism and plenty of size. pass catching, not necessarily the strength of his game. He also played with really bad quarterbacks at Auburn, so I don't know how much that's on him, but didn't get a lot of opportunities, was whatever when he did get an opportunity. But I just like the way he grinds out the hard yards. I feel like, again, not a guy I would necessarily think is going to be super fantasy relevant very often, but I feel like Hunter is absolutely going to have a longer NFL career than a lot of these other guys that we talk about, just because he'll fall forward and he knows where he's supposed to go with the ball. He's proficient. He's just not special.
Yeah. And you mentioned his pass catching. I thought from what I saw of him, he was a natural at it. Like, he wasn't like stabbing at the ball. Like, he had very soft hands, and he wasn't turning up field and wait and trying to find the defender before he had the ball in his hands. Like, I thought he was a good natural pass catcher. The biggest knock on him for me, he's a very upright runner. And his running style reminds me of like a running wide receiver who just has no agility. Like, he's just fast. Hey,
Adrian Peterson ran upright too. So,
okay.
Never know.
Is Jarquez Hunter Adrian Peterson?
No, they're different people.
Okay, good to know. He's not Adrian Peterson in a mustache. I think that Walker, you mentioned he falls forward. I think that he's very good at bouncing through holes, and he accelerates good out of the holes. Decent top line speed. I said that he can turn any play into a touchdown, whether he's getting it at the 50 or the one. You know, like, he can get those hard short yards, and he can get a long touchdown. Good speed, contact balance, soft hands, and home run hitting skills. I have him as an intriguing fantasy football sleeper, but it's one of those things where I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity to show it.
Yeah. That's about where I'm at, too. I could see him maybe if a team decides to put him in this role, I could see him maybe becoming like a Samaje Perine.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's big, he can grind out yards, but he's also a good pass blocker and reliable pass catcher, but just not a guy who's ever going to like completely change the game. But if he's your RB3, I feel like you're going to be really happy with the job he's doing.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. That's a good niche for him to get into, and that's a niche that occasionally has some fantasy relevance. So, Mike, what are your thoughts on Jarquez Hunter?
A combination of vision burst, and as you guys talked about a little bit, big playability, good value as a pass catcher. He could carve out a third down back role if he can learn how to block, but does show good value as a day three pick.
Yeah, Walker, what round do you have on him?
Fourth.
Fourth, okay.
Everybody that we've talked about so far has been between fourth and sixth round for me.
Yeah, I have, my number five guy, Dylan Sampson, my number 19 guy, Jarquez Hunter, between the fourth and the sixth.
So, yeah, whereas I have, Devin Neal is number seven, and my last sixth round grade is Khalil Mullings at 19.
Khalil Mullings, who I have, where is he? Round seven, so you're way off.
Wow. That's your opinion.
No, this is just a deep class. And this is also the type of thing where, depending on where they end up, the order here is going to shake around a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Opportunity is going to be king for this class. So let's talk about another guy that Walker has in their top 10. Neither one of us do, because Mike, Walker, and I all have different guys as our number 10 running back. This is Taj Brooks. Taj Brooks is 5'10", 230 out of Texas Tech, and looks like he put up an 8.28 RAS at the combine.
Yeah, not bad. He's another older prospect, redshirt senior, but the last 2 years he's been incredibly productive. 290 carries for 1,538 yards and 10 touchdowns, and 286 carries for 1,505 yards and 17 touchdowns. He also has, in the past three seasons, caught almost 80 passes. Had an incredibly weird statistical season in 2023 where he caught 29 passes for 72 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good?
That's not a lot.
No.
That's not what you're looking for.
But the other two seasons, he caught 26 and 28 for 164 and 199. So those are normal. I don't know what was going on in 2023. This guy he puts up numbers. I mean, he can handle a lot of touches. Good size, 5'10", 220. Career over 5 yards per carry guy. Career over 80 yards per game guy. And he's played in five different seasons. At least seven touchdowns rushing in four of his 5 years. He doesn't athletically blow you away. I think the 8.28 RAS is mostly just a compilation for him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have like a real big hole in his game athletically, but he's not amazing at anything specifically. I just think he's an all around good, productive player who will catch on with a team at some point. I don't think he's great by any means, but a guy that I think you can take early on day three and be comfortable with him making the roster.
Who's your comp for him?
I kind of went back and forth because he does have the pass catching ability, but he's kind of short and squatty and not the fastest dude in the world. He's another guy who you could comp to Samaje Perine and not necessarily be that far off. I would probably say I kind of like him. He's a lot like Isaiah Davis from last year.
Oh.
To me.
I have a much higher end comp for him. He's my RB 11.
Okay. He is. Yeah. He's my RB 10.
Yeah.
Fourth round. Come back to me and I'll think of a better one.
Okay. So what I had for Brooks is he's a true workhorse back. He showed that last year with Texas Tech. Using him heavily, he was among the NCAA leaders in carries per game. He was a hammer back, but he was capable of hitting the edge and getting around defenders. Not horribly creative, but does a good job of maximizing his blocks. Like I said, speedy enough to beat defenders to the edge. His hands play well enough to keep him from being just a runner, like just a two-down banger. And he is big enough to make defenders hate trying to tackle him when he gets ahead of steam. I see him as kind of like that mid-2010 style of running back, big enough to take a pounding, fast enough to make teams regret stacking players to try to pound him into the dirt. I think he has value right away as a budget three-down back if he needs to be. And like I said, the guy he reminded me of, probably not the same talent level, but watching him play, man near and dear to your heart, Walker, Mr. David Montgomery.
Yeah, he's definitely that type of build, that type of style.
Mm-hmm. But not the same talent level.
Certainly not. I mean, the comp I ended up coming up with was actually another Bears running back and someone near and dear to my heart as well, a Michigan State player, Jeremy Langford.
Oof. All right, so we'll go floor. We'll go low end Jeremy Langford.
Yeah, floor Jeremy Langford, ceiling David Montgomery. So he's Nick Charbonnet, Zach Charbonnet.
Nick Charbonnet.
New player.
new player just dropped. All right, Mike. What
have you imagined if you could combine Zach Charbonnet and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine?
Oh my God, you would have all the running of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and all the pass catching of Zach Charbonnet. Oh no!
Touch. So
you did it backwards.
This guy does nothing but score touchdowns and not get good yards per catch numbers.
Woo. All right, Mike. What are your thoughts on Taj Brooks?
As you mentioned, Jeff, he can get around the edge. Perimeter playmaker. Runs really solid routes as a running back. I wish his hands were a little bit better than like Walker talked about. You know, just iffy. He is comfortable though in contested areas. And then some more things. I'm very explosive as we talked about. I think he has some good athleticism, but he really needs to get better in pass blocking, and that's pretty much it. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. We're gonna go on to another number 10 pick for us. This is Mike with Jordan James. Out of Oregon, Jordan James with a 6.04 RAS. Whew, not good, folks. Not what you're looking for. But Mike, you liked him more from what you saw than his testing.
Yeah, exactly. He has a dense frame, runs with good pad level, and will fall forward. Will explode through the hole quick lateral cuts with stop, start, and change of direction skills, good yards after the catch type of running back, and a willing blocker. As far as negatives go, acceleration and top end speed is missing. Small catch radius, struggles with contact balance, needs better techniques as a blocker, and had a lot of help from a great Oregon offensive line.
Okay. My thoughts on him was, actually, let's start with Walker, mostly because I'm having trouble finding my guy that I need to talk about. I can't find him in my notes. Oh, no. All right, Walker.
Yeah, I mean, he was behind Bucky Irving last season. Had a weirdly high yards per attempt number that was buoyed by a couple like untouched long touchdown runs. But as Mike said, he doesn't have the long speed to really threaten defenses vertically in the NFL. He's an okay pass catcher. Good power. Solid low to the ground. Probably could. He could maybe sneak into some like goal line back relevance in the NFL because he is low to the ground and he scored 31 touchdowns in 3 seasons in college. But I didn't care for him too much. I had a 7th round grade on him.
I also had a 7th round grade on him. Comped him to Pierre Strong. He's just another one of these bouncy little jackrabbit guys. Decent enough stiff arm to keep tacklers at bay, always falls forward when tackled, but struggles to break through straight on tacklers. He was very versatile used at Oregon. Sometimes he was out wide or in the slot. His entire game is predicated on making sure defenders don't get a clean shot on him, because as soon as they do, the whole thing falls apart. Dude's getting hit like Sonic, rings going everywhere. It's a mess. He isn't the most technically sound pass blocker, but he tries. Doesn't have a deep bag of tricks. He's mostly a one cut and go runner. Rarely makes it out of a pile. He's fast enough to jumble up highlight runs. Jumble isn't the word I want there. To stack up highlight runs. But they all think that they all have the same thing in common, which is the first person who gets a good hit on him takes him down. He has one gear and does nothing to let his blocks develop him, causing him to rarely get more than is blocked if there's a messy pile. So that's how I felt about James. But all that having been said, where is he? He is my running back 23 in this class. So sorry, Mike. I don't like him.
He is also my running back 23.
Yeah, not a fan. Not a fan. All right. A 6.9 yard per carry god. There we go. We got there. All right. Now, the main event. The man we've all been waiting for. The man that they said, you're too good to play at Arizona, Jacory Kroski Merritt. You got to get out of here. Redshirt senior, 5'11", 208. Only played one game last year. Did not test the combine. I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't care about eligibility bullshit. I didn't pay attention to what happened with it. All I know is he wasn't able to play one game last year because he transferred twice. Okay, cool. Whatever. But the one game he played last year, he was good. 106 yards, one touchdown on 13 carries. In 2023, with New Mexico before he transferred to Arizona, he had two 200-yard rush games, and in his time split between Alabama State and New Mexico, he had 3,000 total yards, 32 touchdowns, with 1,200 yards and 18 of those touchdowns coming for New Mexico in 2023. I'm so excited. I'm getting ahead of myself. I think that he is a very athletic back. He has some intriguing traits. The number one thing that I really liked about him was that he had excellent pass protection, just bonkers pass pro. And that's the sort of thing that'll get you on the field to start with. And then you can start carving out a niche and start taking the ball away from other guys in your running back room that don't pass protect so well. With the ball in his hand, he has a good amount of wiggle behind the line of scrimmage, but that did hide his patience and vision because he's back there dancing, but he can find the correct hole. He's always looking for the cutback lane. He does tend to make great the enemy of good. But once he finds where he wants to go, once he gets through the line of scrimmage, he's very decisive and is not easy to bring down. I think that his athleticism will press the issue and give him more than the third down back role by the end of the season. He might need a little bit of work in the NFL and would benefit to not getting pressed into the service right away. But I think that he does carry an all-around skill set that I really like. Like I said, he was the MVP of the Shrine game, the East-West Shrine Bowl, or East-West Shrine game. On 11 carries, he had 97 yards and 2 touchdowns. I only have a fifth-round grade on him because I do think that he's a developmental prospect. But I really like where he could end up. My NFL comp for him, and I don't think this is too crazy given the skill set that he has and what I see when I watch him. Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones also a day 3 pick. So I think that he could have that same sort of career where he makes his way onto the field a little bit at a time and eventually takes over and becomes an RB2 for several years. So that's my guy, Jacory Kroski, Merritt, Arizona. You probably do not have to spend a top 10 rookie running back pick on him to get him in your draft. He's probably, I haven't looked at ADP, but if I had to guess, he's probably a round 5 pick. So depending on where he goes, that's my guy, Jacory Kroski, Merritt.
Merritt. Yeah, I mean, he's okay. Good yards per carry numbers at the FBS level. I worry that he was extremely bad his entire Alabama State career and only got good when he was a 22-year-old junior at New Mexico. He did have a good game against in his one game at Arizona. And yeah, he played well at the Shrine Bowl, of course. To me, this seems like a very obvious case of guy got older and stronger than everybody else and therefore got good at college football.
Interesting. That's possible. All right, fine. How about this? He's my number 11 back.
Dude, you don't have to change it. I mean, I don't have a draftable grade on him, but that doesn't mean that what? I'm right.
No draftable grade on JCM. Wow. To be honest, I trust your evaluation more than my own, so now I'm just going to delete the whole thing and say this dude is ass. Take him off the board entirely. UDFA. No draftable grade on him. This is going to be Jacory Kroski Merritt. I forget who it was last year, but there was a guy that I really liked, and then the league showed me they didn't, and I was like, well, shit, never mind, and I just never talked about him again. I forget who that was. I got to find out.
I was going to say, let me go back. I'm going to go back and look at what we were talking about back then.
Let's see, 2024 rookies. Oh, I think it was Jaheim Bell, because I was like all in.
That was a tight end, but yeah, you were really you thought you didn't you have him as like tight end 3?
Yeah, I was really in on Jaheim Bell.
And then he went in the 7th round, and then you were still kind of like, eh.
Let's see. My pre-draft. Let's go. My number 5 running back. No, wait, that's not right. No, that's the number 5.
Oh, Marshawn Lloyd.
Yes, Marshawn Lloyd. And then he went to a shitty situation. I was like, okay, never mind. Never mind. Forget I said anything.
God, Marshawn Lloyd was our consensus RB4 last year, and that pissed me off.
Let's go, baby.
A, that class sucked. B, yeah. He is not good and should never have been up there.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Jaheim Bell, I had a top 3 round grade on. Comped him to Delanie Walker. Dog shit. Jeff was wrong.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. Also Daisy. Okay. So those are the guys inside of our top 10. Let's talk about our Trey Regis guys. And then we probably have some notes to empty out of because there's a few guys that we haven't really talked about. That we'll just mention very briefly. I mentioned like Raheem Sanders. I think DJ Giddens might be worth a mention. Mm-hmm. What about Woody Marks might be worth a mention?
No.
Kyle Monongai?
Sure. I like him well enough, but he's so slow.
All right. So let's get into it. My guy, the pride of Rio Linda, California, everybody. It's very funny when people say that. Where's Rio Linda, California? Well, Walker, if you give me 1 second, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I was going to say, it's very funny that people say that he plays like he's on meth or crack because he is from the methed out, cracked out area of Sacramento. Let's go, baby. He's from rural Sacramento, quirked out white boy. Cam Scadaboo played at Sac State before transferring to ASU. My notes on him, Cam Scadaboo answers the question, what if you gave a quirked out white boy enough bath salts to send him to the moon and set him loose on a football field? He gets the tough yards, mostly because every yard he ever gains is tough. The ASU line was not great. So the moment he touched the ball, it was just absolute chaos. But I'm not releasing Scadaboo of his own problems. He was far too jittery in the backfield. He was often juking nothing and jump cutting two or three times while holes opened and closed in front of him. He ran everything as hard as humanly possible, not shying away from an iota of contact on any given play. He has so much chaos in his game that's hard to see it working in the NFL, despite playing every touch like it was going to be his last on the football field. There's basically nothing refined about him other than having quick feet and a desire to take punishment. He would be best served as a 1B or a change of pace back in the NFL while learning to return kicks, because I think that that's where he would be great. He's a banger, just a tad too small to truly want to invite contact. He does a great job of converting power to speed and vice versa. He will have a role in an NFL backfield. I feel like we had to bring him up. My comp firm was Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I borrowed that / stole that / that's a dedication to / an homage to Kyle Krabs of the 33rd team. He gave me that comp, not personally. He wrote it in an article and I read it. I said, I'm stealing that. There are people who have Cam Scadaboo like top five in this class, which is fucking insane.
This is
out of control. And I made him my Trey Regis Memorial pick because, one, pride of Sacramento. Two, it worked for law firm. It might work for him. I think it's a long road to hoe. I feel like we could not go a running back preview without talking about Cam Scadaboo, because it's just one of those things where it might work. I don't think it will, but it just might, even for a little bit. So I feel like I had to talk about Cam Scadaboo. He is my running back 14.
Yeah, running back 12 for me. He does a lot of good things. Like you said, power, pass catching ability. He can run routes too, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, level of competition was not good until this season, and it still wasn't even that great this season. Not an outstanding athlete by any means. I think he's not quite polished enough. I think he's an effort demon. He's the type of guy who will hang around because he'll be willing to play special teams, and he's out of his mind crazy. But I don't ever see him being a productive member of an offense in the NFL.
Not for any sustained basis.
No.
All right, Mike, what do you think about Real Linda's finest?
He's a physical, tough runner that has strong contact balance and leg drive. He quickly gets up to speed, but also means that he is pretty much a one-speed runner. Soft hands and can be trusted as a check-down weapon. He is likely better viewed as a committee back at the next level.
Okay. What'd you call him, Walker, about a demon? He said something like a demon merchant. What was
effort
it?
Demon.
Effort demon. That's what it was. Episode title. Effort demon. It's a guy who talks in your ear, a little guy, and he's like, you need to try.
You better try harder.
You're like, no, effort demon. No, I'll never try hard.
No, your effort angel is saying, you know, it's beneficial to your long-term health to try harder. And the, effort demon on your shoulder is like, fuck that guy.
He's like, you know what you should do? Try hard to put your head through his torso. Let's go.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Mike, let's talk about Montrell Johnson, your Trey Regis Memorial pick.
Montrell. So he likes to run with violence on contact, creates yards with good power, uses toughness as a blocker. Rarely caught from behind. Dangerous as a catch and run receiver. Always falls forward. Needs to show more patience behind the line of scrimmage. Has a history of injuries. He's not very elusive. And needs to develop contact balance.
Okay. Walker, what are your thoughts on Montrell?
I didn't watch him.
Oh, wow. Mike, we did.
Dang, I got a guy that Walker didn't even see.
I watched him, too. Wow, Walker, you want to try? Walker doesn't know anybody.
I've seen him play a little bit. Athletic, pretty good speed, pretty good power. That's it.
Yeah, so I said he's a devastating open field runner. He does a great job of anticipating defender angles, but does exactly nothing with that information and tries to truck them anyways. Like, he's like,
right?
Yeah, he does.
He's like, oh, that guy's coming. I could juke him, or I'm just going to run straight into him.
Yes.
He has his bag of tricks is non-existent. I said he's a strong runner, but he isn't very versatile in moves, skill set, or overall talent. He just wants to run through a guy's face.
I
think he could make hay as a pure backup running back, getting early looks in short yardage and goal line situations where his ability to fall forward and desire to run through someone's face will get him looks. He could be an early riser, like Damian Pierce, Elijah Mitchell, or Tyrone Tracy. Unfortunately, like those guys, I doubt he has a long shelf life as a fantasy relevant player. I did comp him to Damian Pierce, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast. So as for a Trey Regis pick, it kind of works because
yeah, that's fair.
We've seen Damian Pierce be like, hey, I can just run straight ahead and all of a sudden I'm a fantasy relevant player and then I fall off the face of the earth. So
yeah, he started his career at Louisiana. I'm seeing, and then his touches went down every year. And also his games played went down every year. So I don't love that.
Why not?
Well, because usually as you get older, you're supposed to get better.
Really? I'm supposed to be getting better?
Well, you know, you're over the hill.
Oh, I'm on the other side. Oh, thank God. Okay.
That Mike is coming up to the second plateau.
Oh, damn.
So he's improving again.
You get worse. Hell yeah. You get better, then you get worse, then you get better. Then it all falls apart.
Look, it's all a cycle.
All right. Let's talk about Jaden Blue. Jaden, yeah. Pokemon Blue.
He is really fast. That's pretty much it. he's so fast. He's a pretty good runner. Decent vision, can set up his blocks, did benefit a lot from a good offensive line at Texas. Good pass catcher. He's just like, he'll catch on with somebody as finding a role, but I mean, he's probably more Travis Homer than Javid Best. I would imagine
Travis Homer hitter.
Yeah, that's right. I like him because he's received good coaching. He played at a big time program. He can catch the ball. This is kind of like my could sneakily be fantasy relevant for a while guy just because of this specific skill set.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll ever start by any means, but. Yeah, I mean, I could see him being a solid RB2 for a couple teams.
Yeah, he reminded me a lot of watching Justice Hill play.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, and that's a guy who, not fantasy relevant, but has carved out a good career as like an RB2 at times, RB3 at times on his team. I said if he was 3 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier, people would be hooting and hollering because then he would finally actually fit what he tries to do at times. But yeah, he's just fast as hell. Always falls forward on tackles, turns his legs, good pass catcher out of the backfield. Not a very deep bag of tricks. He'll hit you with an occasional stutter step or dead leg, but doesn't really change his direction or speed. He's just a north-south runner. He fumbles the ball a little bit too much. Like I said, in my notes, he could be something in 2026, but a team would be best to let him cook for a year in 2025.
Best fits Detroit Lions.
Fits Detroit Lions. I have a wide receiver whose best fit is the Detroit Lions for next episode, Walker, and you're gonna go, let's go when I say it. So
is it Iomanor?
It is.
Yeah.
Walker didn't say let's go. Give me let's go, Walker.
No, I don't. I'm not gonna say it this time.
Wow. Okay. That's fine. Okay. Emptying the notebook. Emptying the notebook. JaQuindon Jackson, I put in the group chat last night. Laughed out loud. Just the one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen in my entire life.
That was so a very funny play.
That was so funny.
He just kind of stopped and just kind of missiled himself at a defender, barely missed concussing himself, and just dropped the ball en route to doing that while in the open field. Not a very good football player. Comped him to USFL legend Bo Scarborough.
Oh, hell yeah. That's about right, too. I think Bo was actually more athletic, too.
Yeah, probably. He just loves to lay the wood, and defenders will be at the next level will be like, okay. Let's see who else I got. Raheem Sanders.
Jaquindon? Me too, buddy.
Loves to lay that wood. Rocket Sanders, what do you think about Raheem Sanders?
Yeah, he's all right. He's one of my fifth round grade guys. Good size, can catch the ball a little bit. Not really fast by any means, but
dude struggles when he runs. You can see the pistons pumping, man. It is not aesthetically pleasing.
Not much speed, not much acceleration, but surprising agility. Yeah, light on his feet. He's this is your class's like Joik Bell type.
Okay, yeah, he was. I put Brian Robinson by like the Joik Bell type in there. Let's see what else we got. What else? Marcus Mike, Yams, he sucks.
Mike, you got anything on the Michigan guys?
No, they just suck.
Wow, even Mullings, you think sucks?
Mullings sucks. Yeah, I mean, he's probably a sixth rounder.
Hey, that's what I have. Okay, fair enough.
I think that's what I have too. Mullings, seventh rounder. Gus Edwards, baby.
The highest ranked guy we haven't said anything about. We did mention DJ Giddens, Kansas State.
I think that DJ Giddens is like, he's
that Tevin dude is Coleman. Just Mr. Backup running back.
Yeah, he's Tevin Coleman. Like he'll be around for a while. He has nothing exciting about him. He's just proficient. Like I would skip over DJ Giddens to take Cam Scataboo, given where they would likely go. Well, actually, no. People are insane about Scataboo.
Yeah, Scataboo's going to go too high.
I would probably take Raheem Sanders over DJ Giddens just because, oh, cool, I can have the running back 32 every year with DJ Giddens, or I can have a guy who might have a crack at top 25. Not even RB22, RB42 every year. I might have a guy crack at top 25.
Giddens is my Garendo in this class.
Gotcha.
Great athlete who put up some good stats, but could definitely use a lot more polish in terms of his play style. If he doesn't improve, he will wash out of the NFL for sure. But if he goes to the right spot, I could definitely see him ending up as like a 1B.
All right, let's talk about the man of the hour, shall we? Trevor Etienne.
I was going to say, who could that possibly be?
Trevor Etienne.
Seventh round grade.
He sucks. I have a UDFA on him.
Highest. I have one more sixth round grade, and then everybody else is seventh.
Who's your sixth round grade?
LaQuint Allen Jr.
I watched 28 guys. I did not watch LaQuint Allen Jr.
Ah, he's from Syracuse, and he's a kind of a bruiser who can catch the ball too. So I think he might have a little bit of relevance if a bunch of guys get hurt. But I mean, he's mostly just kind of like a special teamer / RB4.
Okay. But no, Trevor Etienne, it's funny because teams, they figured out how to stop him. They just wait for him to stop spinning and juking around in the backfield. And they're like, all right, now we can go get you. Cause that dude loves to dance.
Yeah. His yards per carry numbers at Florida and Georgia, not as good as they should have been.
No, it was a lot. It was really funny watching him. Cause I was like, all right, let's see if Trevor Etienne, if he's the Tuatha Tagovailoa of this year's draft. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's getting drafted because of his brothers in the league. Or he's going to be signed as a UDFA because his brother's in the league, and that's it.
He will get drafted for sure.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Ugh. He went to Georgia. He was going to get drafted.
Ugh.
One last guy I have a draftable grade on we haven't mentioned, Breshard Smith.
Oh, Breshard Smith, yeah. My RB25.
Tyrone Tracy, but worse.
Let's see. I don't even remember Breshard Smith. I put him out of mind.
He played mostly receiver at SMU and then switched to running back, which is why people are going with the Tracy comps, which makes sense. But he's just not as big or athletic as Tracy. So he could catch on as a gadget guy. But yeah, he's a seventh rounder.
Yeah, I said he looks like he'll catch on because of his versatility and and special teams prowess. Like, we've recently seen success stories like Antonio Gibson and Tyrone Tracy, but more often than not, you switch positions because you don't play very well at that position. We've seen this so many times before. Hyper athletic guy who just can't play his position very well, switches positions. He plays against questionable competition and does well just because he's faster than they are.
We've seen this so many times
and it never works out.
No, somebody in your rookie draft will take Breshard Smith in the third round because they're going to say, well, it happened last year with Tyrone Tracy.
It worked for Antonio Gibson. It worked for Tyrone Tracy.
And maybe it'll work for me. It won't.
All right. What about, Mike already talked about him. I would just like to say Donovan Edwards out of Michigan. My first line was, you cannot pay me enough money to hand the football to Donovan Edwards.
You can't trust that guy at all. Let me see. Let me go through the I'm going through the NFL mock draft database consensus board to see who the highest rated player we haven't said anything about is. And there is one player in the top 300 that we did not mention in this episode.
Is it Kyle Monongai?
No, we mentioned him.
Oh, we did?
Barely. I said he was really slow, but decent.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say his name, and that's it. Joquavius Marks.
Joquavius Marks? You mean, I mentioned him. That's Woody Marks, baby.
Oh, he's Woody. Okay.
He's Woody. Yeah, Joquavius Woody Marks. Okay. Fun little,
I didn't bother to get a nickname because he's bad.
He's Devin Singletary, but bad.
I love to be slow and bad. That's really great. what a combination. No wonder I hated him.
And he's going to turn 25 in, I think, October.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that either. I immediately just wrote him off because I was like, yeah, this guy stinks. But I didn't know all of that other stuff, too. Why in the world would anybody draft this guy?
That's why I have him as a day three, because if you like him, you'll just take him as a day three, use him on his rookie contract, and then cast him aside.
Is there such a thing as a non-priority UDFA?
A walk-on?
Normal priority.
In the NFL?
Normal priority UDFA.
Yeah, he turns 24 in December. That's what it is.
I'm giving this guy a $12,500 bonus to sign as a UDFA.
I'm giving this guy room and board. That's it.
You don't have to. Yeah. I'll put you up in an apartment for the 2 months that you're in camp.
I'll give this guy a Motel 6 and a per diem, a $30 a day per diem. That's what you get, buddy.
Motel 6 and McDonald's, baby. That's how I'm living.
Let's go. All right. That's it, I think, for the running backs. Any Walker went through the list. We've talked about everybody at least a little bit. Good deep class. I really like it. I'm very intrigued by this class because I want to know where these guys end up. The opposite of that would be who we talk about next week, the wide receivers.
I have one final question on the running backs.
Okay.
Outside of Ashton Jeanty, which running back in this class runs for the most yards as a rookie?
Ooh, Hampton.
Yeah, I got it. Since he's my second guy, I have to go Hampton, yeah.
I have to go Hampton because he doesn't really catch the ball.
Well, he can.
Yeah, but primarily, I think he's going to be primarily running the ball.
Yeah, I'll go Judkins.
Judkins? Okay, I think Caleb Johnson also has a chance.
Yep, I would agree.
Yeah, so.
And if you're looking for an off-the-board option, I mean...
JCM's right there.
Maybe Sampson, I guess. I mean, like, I don't like him, but he's probably going to go pretty high.
If you're looking for the most rushing yards and off the board option, I mean, Martinez, Neal?
Yeah, Martinez I could see him going to a team and then having one injury, and then he just gets like 200 carries for 850 yards.
Yeah, you turn around and he's the starting running back for the Titans for 9 weeks.
Yeah, just because, like Tony Pollard goes down and then they just are like, well, Martinez gets 2/3 of the carries and Spears gets all the catches.
Yeah, Spears turns into the 2-minute warning and third down back.
It's Theo Riddick time, baby.
It's Theo Riddick time. All right. So next week we're going to talk all the wide receivers because they're not nearly as good. They're not nearly as exciting. There's about let's see, five or six guys that I'm excited about.
I think there's like 12 receivers that I like to any degree.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys where I'm just like, oof, no, that's a kiss of death. Oof, oof. I watched Trey Harris today, mostly figuring out why people like Trey Harris so much, and I figured it out. We'll talk about that next week. It's because they are being lazy.
What do you know?
What do you know? So we'll be back next week to talk the wide receivers. Then after that, we're going to talk the tight ends. Mike, how are the Giants doing?
Oh, Camilo Duvall blew it. It's 4-4 now.
Come on, Camilo.
Bases are loaded. Two outs.
Oh.
More like Camilo Duvall. Homer voice. Duvall.
More like... More like Camilo Duvall. All right, goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.